I again want to say good morning to everybody. I want you to know that I consider it a honor and a privilege to be here. And how many of y'all knew I was coming before I came? Okay. First of all, I want to thank y'all who knew I was coming and y'all came. And for y'all who didn't know I was coming and y'all got a surprise when y'all got here, maybe y'all stay. I don't know. Maybe y'all stay. But anyway, I'm glad to be here to just talk with you. And I promise you today that you will get out on time, whatever time that is, when I finish. whenever I finish. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's something very interesting. You know, when I get up to talk, whenever I got a Sabbath school lesson, you know, like my sister did this morning, you know, my goal and my only repurpose is when I get up is if I can make the people think. Y'all seen the statue of the thinker? Y'all ain't seen the statue of the thinker? Listen, if I can just get you to think, that's all I want to do. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm saying that is because we are not thinking. If I can get you to think, that's the greatest thing I could ever do. If I can just get you to think. If I can just get you to think. And that's all I want to do today, just get you to think. I just want to get you to think. But I'm glad to be here. And I want y'all to pray. We have a prison ministry going on. And you know, let me tell you something. You know, when I used to read my Bible, you know, I thought it was the craziest thing that Paul now was in prison and that jailer gave his heart to the Lord. And they were singing in church in jail. And I just thought that was the craziest thing. I said, you know, who does that? Or even why would anybody in prison want to give their heart to the Lord? Well, you know, I've been doing prison ministry, I guess, for the last 3, 4, 5, 10 years. And we, within the last year, we have led to Christ. Let me say it correctly. We have led to Christ. And we have baptized 10 prisoners into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Amen. And I just don't believe it. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe it. And some of them have gotten out, and some of them have come to Aiken to visit us. We know where they are, and we stay in contact with them, make sure that they are still being faithful to the faith. But ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to pray for the ministry and to pray for those guys. Hopefully, with the help of God, we hope to build a halfway house here in Aiken for prisoners. One of the guys that we baptized into the church a few months ago, he made parole 3 months ago, and he got out, and we tried our best to find him a Seventh-day Adventist halfway house, and we could not find one. And so he had to go to another halfway house run by another church down in Charleston. And so we talked to him the other day on the phone, you know, and we were trying to tell him, now listen, we know you having to do some of the things they say as far as coming to their programs and all that kind of stuff, but you know what we taught you, and you know what you are and who you are, and so you need to stay into the Word and remember what you were taught. And so you pray that God will bless us, that we will be able to build a halfway house here in Aiken for Seventh-day Adventists and others who get out and they need to keep that atmosphere so that they can maintain the teaching and the thing that they have been given. And so please pray again for that endeavor. All right, at this time, I just want to open the word for a few minutes, and I just want to get you to do a little bit of thinking with me today. And I'm just going to read some scriptures, and then I'm just going to say a few things about that, and then we will have a word of a prayer at the end. First of all, I would like to go to the book of John, 1 John chapter 2. If you don't mind. 1 John chapter 2. And we would like to read verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. And 19. We would like to read these verses. And the Bible says, 1 John, if any of you, if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bibles and you got it open, I would like for you to read those verses with me, because I would like for you to read them so that you can, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, it's interesting. One of the reasons I love reading the Bible for myself is because I can always say, I saw that in the Bible. I read that in the Bible. I saw it with my own two eyes. That's why I like for you to do it and look at it. So if you're ever talking with anybody or you're dealing with an issue yourself, you can say, I saw that in the Bible myself, and I read it. All right, 1 John 2, verses 15 through 19. The Bible says what? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, again today we pray that you give us the privilege, give us the opportunity today just to think. Oh God, what can be gathered from your word if we would just think and meditate upon it? So today, help us just to think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it was interesting to me what got my mother, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, what got her. And John helps me to understand something that we often forget. In John, the Bible just shared with me that I'm not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Man. He says, all that's in the world, not some, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that is not from God, but it is of the world. And the Bible lets me know something that I need to always keep in mind in verse 17. It says, but the world pass away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are dependent upon this world, that this world is what you are dependent upon, if you are focusing your happiness on this world, the Bible says you need to remember something, and that is that this world is going to pass away. The Bible says it's going to pass away, and the lust that thereof is. But the Bible says that he that doeth the will of God, that person will abide forever. And verse 19 talks about people who went out of the church, people who were in church, but then they decided to leave church. And, you know, I'm very interested in the world. You know, I was interested in this term and this thing, world. What is it about the world that's, you know, so bad? The Bible tells me God made the world. The Bible says God put everything that's here. He created the earth in 7 days. But yet he created the world and he put me here, and then he comes and tells me, love not the world, neither the things of the world, but yet the things in the world were put in here by him. And so I'm wondering myself, as I think about this, what is God talking about? What is his focus? Is there something about the world that I need to keep in mind, or that I need to be on my guard against? And the Bible brings it out in a lot of different terms. But ladies and gentlemen, what I want to talk to you about today, about what's the philosophy, what got Mother Eve, what got her, and what tricks up so many of people today. In fact, the Bible talks about the whole world has been deceived, and we have been deceived by the very same thing that Mother Eve was deceived. And as we turn back in our Bibles to our scripture reading this morning from Genesis chapter 3, I want to go to those verses, and I want you to tell me what it is. In Genesis chapter 3, the world has a philosophy that I must avoid. The world has a reasoning. The world has a mentality. The world has a system of figuring things out and trying to do things. And I must be very careful to avoid that philosophy. And the Bible lets us know in Genesis chapter 3. And I want to, if we could read the verses together, and I want you to tell me what you think the problem is. Let's just read verse 5 and verse 7. Let us try to see what the world philosophy is today. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says what? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, listen to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Ladies and gentlemen, the world philosophy is based on those two verses. Would anyone like to take a guess of what the world's philosophy is? You've all heard it, so I'm not worried about you haven't heard it. In fact, all of you have practiced it. You may have practiced it this week. You may have practiced it before you came to church this morning. What is this world philosophy? In fact, you might even love it. In verse 3, in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, ladies and gentlemen, the world's philosophy is claimed in those verses as the words that the devil gave to Eve. And basically what he told Eve was that true happiness comes from not obeying God, but disobeying God. Is that not what the serpent told Eve? Well, Eve, if you want to excel, if you want to get higher in life, you see, God has limited you. You're just a human. But if you disobey God, then you become great like God himself. You will be exalted. If you want true happiness, and if you want true success in this world, Eve, you got to disobey God, and you got to listen to me. This is the world's philosophy that they have planted into our minds and our hearts, that if you really want to be happy, if you really want to be successful in this life, you need to disobey what God has said. Because see, God has all these restrictions on you, but the devil says, no, if you want to be happy, if you want to be successful, you must disobey God. You must go against what the Bible says. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been told, and I've read the statement when one Bible writer says that you can be assured that the people you see in prayer meeting on Wednesday nights are probably going to be the people in heaven. But you know what? You know what? What I am guilty of, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you know I run my own business, but let me tell you something. There have been many a day when I have chosen to stay on the job and work and make another $200 or $300 rather than going to prayer meeting and praying for myself and for praying for others. Why? Because I believe that it would be more and beneficial to me if I make another $200 or $300 rather than go and just take time and to pray for myself and to pray for others and talk about the word of God. I myself have done that. I have believed that philosophy. It's better, Brother Tyrell, for you if you got more money in your pocket than you got prayer on your lips. The devil tells us all the time, it's more advantageous for you. You will be happier. You'll be happier, Brother Tyrell. And when I was thinking about turning to the church and doing what is right, I can tell you, young people, the devil told me all the time, Brother Tyrell, don't you worry about going out there to my getting old married and got to put up with one woman all your life. Don't you worry about all that stuff. Listen, you'll be happier if you just do what you want to do on the outside. Just get you a woman to take care of your needs, and then you leave her, and then you go back home. You don't have to worry about all those other issues. Ladies and gentlemen, the philosophies and everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we experience, we believe that philosophy of the devil, that you are happier if you disobey God. Do you believe that? Talk to people about eating right all the time, and people tell me all the time, Brother Trywell, I could not be happy eating grass all the time. I got to have me a steak, man. Man, them good old hot chicken wings. I just couldn't enjoy life, man. I just can't do it, brother. And ladies and gentlemen, it comes to everything. It comes to everything. When it comes to food, when it comes to marriage, the temptation, all young guys I know on the job always coming to me, married men, say, man, I tell you what, you'll be more happier if you just have your wife. And also if you got a girlfriend on the side, so when she's not acting right, you can run over there so you're always being taken care of. They're always telling me, man, oh, man, you just don't know what it's like. They're telling me what? The philosophy of the devil, Brother Trower, you will be happier if you disobey God in respect to marriage, but to do what the world does. Our Constitution says that everybody has the right to pursue happiness. And when the gays and lesbians brought their issue to the Supreme Court for same-sex marriage, and they said this is a civil issue, is it a civil right? They said, the United States Supreme Court says that if everybody has the right to pursue happiness, then guess what? If a man wants to marry a man, that's how he pursue happiness. The Constitution and the Supreme Court of the United States of America said, then that's what they should do. That is what makes them happy. But the Bible says that it is an abomination. And it's the same issues, ladies and gentlemen, that we're playing out with the LGB community. It's the same issue. They're saying, I would be happier if I didn't do what God said with respect to marriage about one man and one woman. I would be happier if I disobey God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the philosophy of the world. But the thing that gets me is sometimes we believe the philosophy that I would be happy.
And you know, when I go to work sometimes, especially this last week when it's been hot, 100 degrees, and we're out there in the sun with no shade, and we just drinking water and doing our thing and working on the job in the open sun. And you know, I'm sweating and I get tired. And you know, and I know that I should spend time with the Bible, and I know I should spend time with His Word. But you know what? Sometimes I'm tempted that when I come home, I just want to relax and enjoy myself. But instead, my idea of relaxing and enjoy myself a good afternoon may not be sitting down watching a good spiritual program. My source of happiness may be I may choose to sit down and watch a movie. A movie can relax me after a hard day's work, where the Bible couldn't do that. Many times, in many ways, we choose the things of the world. And when the Bible tells in Philippians 4 and verse 8, when it says everything that is lovely, that is good, and is kind, and is a good report, when you sit down to watch a program and you got your remote in your hand, what is your inclination? Do you go to the program that's going to uplift you spiritually? Or do you say, I will feel better. I will enjoy this evening more relaxed if I would just watch this good movie that may promote drinking, cursing, and lying? How many of y'all would like to laugh? I like to laugh myself. But ladies and gentlemen, when I want to find something to laugh about, when I want to find something to laugh about, and I'm home and I'm somewhere, and I have my remote in my hand, you know, things are going rough, you know. And I just need. I know the Bible says that laughter is like a good medicine, and I want to break out of, you know, this thing that's trying to get me, and I want to just relax and have a good laugh. Where do I go for my entertainment? Do I put on in Kevin Hart, Mr. Williams, who every other word is cursing? Is that where I go for laughter? For good, wholesome laughter? But what do we think? I mean, I'm trying to get us to think about our mindset, because what we're talking about today is our decision-making process. Anytime we choose to choose evil over good, we are doing just what Eve did in the garden. We're listening to the devil saying, oh, well, you'll be happier if you do this. You'll be more successful if you do this. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting down doing my taxes and the tax lady asked me questions, and I've been tempted to say, well, you know, if I tell this little small lie right here, I get back an extra $800. But if I tell the truth, guess what? I'm not going to get that extra $800. So I want you to look at my decision-making process, how I am basing my decisions. I want to be successful. I want to have money. But what am I willing to do to get that money? It's your decisions. It's your mindset. It's the way you think. Are you believing like Eve did? Are you believing just like she did that you would be more successful? You would be benefited more if you disobey God rather than obey God? And it plays out in our everyday lives. You know, the Bible talks about loving your wife and all that kind of stuff. The air conditioner tore up in my wife's vehicle. Now, that's her vehicle. It's got her name on it, everything. And I got a vehicle. Got my name on it, everything. Well, it's 100 and something degrees during the day. But as I'm thinking about it, I'm going to show you how we process things and how we do things. In my mind, when I'm thinking about what the Bible says about loving my wife and the way I should treat her and all this kind of stuff, as I'm sitting there thinking, and I was getting ready to leave, to come over here, I said to myself, "Ooh, I'm so glad I got air conditioning in my car." But my wife don't have air conditioning in her car. And I said, I'm so glad that I got air conditioning in my car. I'm looking at what's going to be more advantageous to me.
This is a small, simple decision. You know, the Bible talks about the world, talks about the pride of life. And so I'm getting ready to make a decision which vehicle I was going to get in to come over here this morning, knowing that what I had read, what was going to be more advantageous for me. After looking at the notes on my sermon, I said, I better let my wife take the air conditioning car. And I better take the other one. So that's what I did. But ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to think about is what happened in the Garden of Eden. The devil told Eve, you will be happier, you will be more blessed if you disobey God. Every day I'm tempted to do just that, every day. You know, I don't know this. Maybe I'm the only one that get tempted. I don't know. Maybe y'all different from me. But anyway, I'm going down the road the other day, and the guy pulled out in front of me. He would pull out in front of me. And then when he pulled out in front of me, I said, maybe he didn't see me or something. And so I bumped my horn. And when I bumped my horn, he gave me the sign. I said, baby, I'm different. Maybe I'm a little different from y'all. I don't know. But, you know, as I was looking at that, I wanted to give him the sign, too. But I didn't give him the sign. I gave him the peace sign. But, ladies and gentlemen, it would have been more and beneficial to me. I would have felt good if I would have did evil for evil, you see. I was, in that mind, I was playing, which is more advantageous to me, to teach him a lesson, to show him something, to get back at him? Who was I going to represent? What decision was I going to make? Is it going to be more advantageous in this situation, in every situation, for me to act like Christ or to act like the devil? When you leave today, whatever you face in life, your temptations, that's going to be the issue. But what do you believe? Do you believe it's better to obey God? Do you believe it's more advantageous to obey God or to obey the world? That is the world's philosophy. I don't know about you, but I'm following the abortion issue very closely. I don't know whether you're following it or not, ladies and gentlemen, but do you hear? I'm listening to the arguments. I'm listening to the protesters. I hear the women on the pro-choice side giving all the reasons why they should murder their baby. And all of them deal with one issue. I will be happier without this baby ruining my life. Every one of their reasons. I'm not ready for a baby. Oh, I would be happy not without this baby. They're preaching Genesis 3. Are you following the issues? Are you really seeing the real issue? They will be happier disobeying God by murdering an innocent child. And let me tell y'all this, then I'm going to quit. And I don't know whether you're watching the debates and all of the legal aspects, all of it, and now in some state pool, 6 week heartbeat law and all this kind of stuff, trying to convince us that a baby isn't a real baby until you actually can hear the heartbeat of whatever amount of weeks that is, and that state passed that particular law. Ladies and gentlemen, in any state, ladies and gentlemen, in this entire country, I don't care where you go. If you go out and plant a garden or orchard or anything, if you plant those seeds, and if those seeds just sprout,
and come out of the ground a little bit. And if you go out there and destroy that person's field, they will sue you in court and win. Why? Because you destroyed their crop. Whatever it was, whether it was corn, peas, it doesn't matter. You destroyed their crop. You could win that in any state, in any country in this land. You destroyed that little twig, haven't produced no corn, no wheat, no nothing. But yet, it is considered the grown-up fat when it's just coming up out of the ground. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, how come a child, a fetus, how come a baby has to have a heartbeat before it is considered a child? The Bible says it is a child from conception.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what the subject is or what the issue is. The world tells me and you we will be happier without God, without obeying God. And the problem is, so many of us believe it. And so we pursue happiness without God, without believing what His Word says. I don't know if any of y'all here know Dwight Nelson? Dwight Nelson did a campaign some years ago, and he was on national television, and he told all the preachers of the First Day churches, I don't know whether y'all remember that or not, but he told all the preachers that were listening, people all over the world were listening, he told them, he said, I want y'all to know that the reasons for the problems we have in this world, part of the responsibility rests on y'all. Because y'all has told people in y'all churches that the law is a bondage, that the law is restrictive, and that you will be happier without the law. So y'all have done away with the law. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to know what's going on. We need to know what's happening. We need to know what the real issues are. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking us today to let's please think. Do you believe that you will be happier without coming to church on the Sabbath? Do you believe you will be happier eating everything? Do you believe you will be happier being able to watch any kind of program on TV or to listen to any kind of stuff on radio? Do you believe that you will be happier and better off without God? This is the issue. This is what you've got to decide. This is what I've got to decide. Do I believe the devil or do I believe? And like I said in my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, even though I don't care how much Eve believed the devil, you can travel this world, go to any country, you can go to any state, you can go to those rivers where they split out of the book of Genesis when it talks about the rivers split and go in different ways. You can go to those rivers and look all over and you would not find Adam and Eve alive nowhere on this planet. I have a problem when I believe it. Sometimes I get off track. I believe sometimes. Oh, I would be so much happier if I could just tell this person off. I would be so much happier. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that Eve took of the fruit and he gave it to her husband and he ate with her. I pray today that would not be our experience. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, today, everywhere we look, everything you tell us is under attack. Whether we're talking about marriage, whether we're talking about food, whether we're talking about sex, whether we're talking about what we eat, what we watch, what we set before our eyes and our ears, Lord, abortion, Lord, gay rights, Lord, all of these things, Father, people are believing the philosophy of the devil that you would be happier if you don't do what God say do. But Lord, the world is not my concern today. My concern is us. Sometimes we think we are happier by not doing what you say. And so today we praying for your forgiveness and that you would help us all to think. And Lord, and Adam and Eve did not see the immediate effects of their choice. But as we look around today, Father, they are dead. They've been dead over 5,000 years. And so today I pray we may not see the effects of our bad choices right now. But who is going to be affected by them? Will our children, grandchildren, our neighbors, our husband, wife? When they see us choosing evil over good, what are they thinking? Lord, we can't remember, forget about the story about Lot and his wife. Lord, I often talk about that story. When the angel came to Lot and tried to get them to get out of the city, Lot hee-hawed around and delayed and did all of this stuff to stay in the city as long as he could. Then the angels finally grabbed him and drug him out of the city. And on the way out of the city, the Bible said that his wife looked back and she came a pillar of salt. And when I read about it in Patriarchs and Prophets, Lord, I found those sad words written in there that because Lot didn't take the angels seriously, his wife didn't take them seriously either. But it only cost her life, Lord. Lot got out. And so today, help us to realize that our actions not only can cost us our lives, but it can cost the lives of those who are watching us. Please be with us. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would help us to want to do right. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.